Hello and welcome in to another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, the podcast where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. I'm Joey Groh, and I'm joining Andy Schmidt of Comics Experience and other ventures to talk about questions submitted on Twitter. Today, Andy, the question that we have been talking about before we started recording comes in from @JohnBarbeau, and if I mispronounce that, that's on me. We were debating the pronunciation of your name, John. Don't let my inability to pronounce it cause you to not ask more questions. John asks, for a creator going to an established publisher, what are the elements of a well-crafted pitch? Andy, you're a guy that has the writing end, the editing end, and now the publishing end with CE as far as getting a lot of pitches. And I'm assuming, you know, so much of what you see is a result of somebody that you know that potentially has in person said, hey, Andy, I've got this idea. It's like Star Wars meets the Old West, but with a spin. Everybody's a woman. You're going into some pitches blind, but some pitches you probably have a little bit of a heads up on who you've talked to. Especially on the CE front, knowing people from the workshop, and maybe they're even workshopping their pitches. I know for me, it was actually super valuable for my first comics pitch to have the workshop as a place where I could go in and get a lot of valuable feedback and, you know, super constructive criticism that made me go through multiple drafts of not just the log line, but the, you know, the full body, as well as what pages I wanted to submit, you know, setting aside actually scripting and getting the art in and making those decisions. For you, is there a quick and dirty thought that you have of, all right, a pitch should have this attached to it?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, given my experience, you know, I've worked as an editor, you know, behind, you know, characters that companies own. I've worked with characters that are licensed to the comics publisher where I work, and then I've also worked on other people's creator-owned books and those things being submitted to me for publication. So those are really kind of three different categories. So what I'm going to try and do is hit the things that apply to all three. Like there is no pitch that should go out without these couple of things. The first thing is a decent title. Even if you're pitching on like a licensed property like G.I. Joe, like you want G.I. Joe : what is that thing? And one of the reasons for that is that a title sets a tone, it sets an expectation. It can tell me what the thing is. Like one of my own creator-owned books was called 5 Days to Die, which sort of tells you the hook right in the title. You know, they don't all have to be that. You know, another title that I like a lot because of what it says without saying anything is Blade Runner. Hmm. Like Blade Runner just sounds really cool, but it doesn't tell you anything. It's completely meaningless until you're actually in the film and they're like, here's what Blade Runner means.
It sounds very active. It sounds like it's got a, you know, it's a verb. It's something is happening.
Right. It sounds cool. And it sounds sci-fi-y,
right,
or fantasy-esque. But anyway, so, you know, a title has those. So you want some sort of title. A hook is always good, especially if you're working with, well, actually a hook is always good. And that hook is that thing that is going to draw somebody in right from the get-go, you know, you know, one of the projects I worked on at Marvel was Civil War, and that's got a hook. Mm-hmm. All your favorite superheroes are going to take sides and they're going to beat each other up. Now there's a lot more to it. And there's some more nuance and what the character beats are within that. That's what really makes it, you know, a hit or a miss for you. But that hook, like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm interested in that. It's the same thing. It's the same reason why both Secret Wars and Marvels at Marvel, both of those are like perennial sellers. Well, that's not the only reason, but those are big reasons. You know, that was the first time you had all those characters together and all that sort of stuff. And then, you know, the origin of the Marvel Universe. But, you know, those things have hooks. Kingdom Come at DC has a really cool hook. You know, Dark Knight Returns, you know, all those things have cool hooks. And then on top of that, they're executed very well. So a hook is important. You have to have a complete story, which means that even if it's a story arc, you know, in the life of an ongoing character, you need to know what your story is, beginning, middle, and end, and why it applies to that character and why it's important. Like, why are we telling this story? Why are readers going to care? So it's a little different from just having a plot outline. You know, knowing why this is a story that's that you're telling. You kind of have to know that. And it can be because it'll be entertaining. That can be a component of it. Like, not all stories have to be like life alteringly good, mm-hmm. but you know, you have to know what the story is and what the purpose of the story is in sort of a meta sense. And then the biggest thing is your characters. You've got to have a character arc, and that's sort of number one. And you know, that's one of those things that I talk about in terms of, you know, if you give me a character bio, in that bio, I don't need to know what college they went to, what kind of training they had. I may not even need to know if it's a superhero, what all of their powers are. Like, Superman probably doesn't use all of his powers in every story. You know, but what I really need to know is, what's Superman about and how is he changing, learning, or growing in this story? And what that will do is it will force you to craft a story that will force that change, and that sort of answers the question of why this story. Like, if you can come up with a story in which Superman realizes that he has to be he can never be Clark Kent anymore because he has some realization that happens in this story, the story sort of forces this to come to a head. Well, that's cool. Now I know why you're telling that story. Probably DC won't let you get away with that because he will be Clark Kent next month. Hmm. But you know, it's that sort of thing. Like, what is it that your character is going to confront? How is that going to force your character to change or grow? And with those ongoing characters that are constantly in publication, you know, you've heard it before, I'm sure, the illusion of change. But some changes don't have to be illusions. You can have a real change that doesn't have to be hit on every single month thereafter, but could be an actual change that is okay for the character. So the illusion of change is sort of, again, that's sort of like a macro thing. Like, the illusion that Spider-Man changes over time is important, but he can have little changes along the way. I mean, for a while, his web shooters were organic. Then they weren't again, and I've lost track since then. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's that sort of idea. That so those are the things you need. A title that tells me something, a hook. You need the character arc, which is really, why are we telling the story about this character? Mm-hmm. And one of my litmus tests, and this works especially well when it's not a creator owned book, when it's a licensed character, or it's a character owned by a company, which is a lot like, though different than working on a licensed character, is if I can swap out, you know, one of your major characters for another major character without the story being altered in any significant way, then you have a story that's not about that character. Mm-hmm. So if you pitch me a Spider-Man story and I can swap Spider-Man out and put Wolverine in and nothing really changes, then you don't have a story about Spider-Man. You have a sequence of events in which a character can run through and punch people. And so those are, you know, there are other sort of litmus tests like that you can do for different things. But, you know, that's usually the first one I do. And you'd be surprised how often you can make that change. Like, oh, I'll take Spider-Man out and put Wolverine in, or I'll take Wolverine out and put Captain America in, and it's still basically the same. And that means you just haven't figured out how to merge your story with your character yet. But that's key. That's what I got.
That's what you got. I think that's a great rundown. So, in other words, be able to pitch on Spider-Man or Wolverine. I think that's a really good rundown. And it's interesting, the title thing. That's something that I guess I don't put top of mind as much as I used to. But you're right. And I can imagine on the other end of things, you know, you want it to be G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra Commander. It has to have something when you're working on it that you go, oh, yeah, it'd be cool. Not to say you're projecting a lot to the idea, but I think a lot of times pitches and log lines are that kind of, there's not a lot of meat left to it because you just whittled it down so much that I don't know if the right thought is you get to project a little on it, but it's that excitement that you go, oh yeah, that could be cool, Rise of Cobra Commander. You know, you start to imagine what that story is. Like you were saying, Blade Runner just sounds cool, and then getting into it, you want that act of discovery. So that's I have to imagine for you on the front of reading pitches coming in as an editor, wherever, you know, you were or whatever you're doing, the ones that really stand out, you know, might share a lot of DNA and why they stood out. It's the elements that you talked about and have a certain kind of pop to them where it's just been whittled down to the information that you need. And it feels like, yeah, that's totally the story here. That's the unique story that you're going to get to tell.
Right. And, you know, in your pitch, if you can hit those four things, right? The title, the hook, the story, and the character development. If you can hit those things and they all kind of work together, you get a pretty good project of at least the intent, pretty good visual of what the project is intended to be.
Right.
And that should be enough. You know, I mean, you know, depending on different publishers, you know, is there a hole in the publishing? Does this go against something that's going on with the characters already? There's like 100 other things that could get in the way, especially as you go to different kinds of publishers with it. But if you've got those four elements, and there's nothing else that like immediately crops up that's like, we can't do this for X, you know, discernible reason, I would hope that would get you to the next conversation.
Yeah.
It would get you into the conversation. Now, one of those barriers entry could be something like your work experience. If you've got nothing published before, well, probably DC and Marvel aren't going to take that risk on you, though it has happened. I mean, some people have gotten their first work there at those places. But, you know, the chances of that get slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. So, But yeah, if you've got a bit of a track record, some things published, you know, at smaller or self-published works, and then you come up with something that fits those elements, and you've got enough of a connection with an editor at one of those places, then hopefully you'd be having a conversation after that. I mean, you know, again, there's no guarantees. It's not like when you get hired as an editor, they go, here, whenever you get a pitch that fits this criteria, we publish it, you know, like they don't give you a checklist. So to a certain extent, you know, every editor, every project manager, every publisher has a different set of criteria. And a lot of it comes down to sort of personal taste and stuff. And sometimes, you know, I'll get something that has all those elements. And the response has been, hey, you did a nice job with this pitch. It's not for me. Like I'm not, you know, and it's not a cop out, but I have said to people, I'm not the right editor for this because it doesn't fit in my aesthetic, and I won't be the guy that's gonna do it justice and help you make it as good as it can be. But I'd recommend you talk to so and so, and I'll even send the pitch over to that person, you know, with my recommendation, thinking that it's something that would appeal to them in a way that it won't to me. I mean that doesn't happen a lot. But it has happened a couple of times, and there have been some projects that I've rejected that have then, you know, gotten picked up either because I did something like that or I rejected them and they got submitted to another editor down the hall, and they liked it enough and the project happens. Like that happens, and I'm sure that I picked up projects that somebody else had, you know, had shot down for one reason or another because I just saw something in it or it connected with me. But yeah, it's tough. There you go.
There you go. Pitch, 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 yeah. Pitch. Comics Experience is going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, and I am envious that I do not get to go this year due to some other commitments, but I know you are going to be there. As of our recording, they haven't made a lot of announcements for their programming. I don't know if it's fair to tease. Maybe there's some Comics Experience programming that folks could get to, but there's also you on site and you on the convention floor.
We're not doing a booth or a table, you know, this year. But I'll be there, and I've got six panels that I am leading. I think I'm allowed to say what they are. We're actually going to do a blog fairly soon with times and stuff, so check the website for that. But we're doing top 10 tips to up your comics art game. Top 10 tips to up your comics writing game. So those two. Breaking into comics. Let's make a comic, which is parents and kids together time, so that like parents and their kids can come on the kids' day, and I'm going to teach parents and kids together how to make a comic together, which is a ton of fun. I do that when I go around to elementary schools a lot. I do a version of this. I'll be revising it because it'll be a little different in San Diego, but I do a version of it at elementary schools, and it's just a ton of fun for the kids and the parents. And then I got Ready Writer 1, How to Write for Video Games, since I've been doing that for a while. I'm doing a panel on how to write for video games. And Saving the Bank, Budgeting a Comic Book Project, which is anyone who's interested in self-publishing, which should be anybody interested in creating comics, sort of a panel that you have to attend, I think. I think it should be a requirement. But yeah, we've got all those going on. And then actually the week after San Diego, that Wednesday and Thursday after San Diego, July 27th and 28th, I believe, is when we're doing the master seminar with Brian Michael Bendis. And seats have been going fast for those. So if you're interested in that, you know, sign up soon.
That is a lot of opportunity for a lot of CE in a very short amount of time. That is.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be very tired.
That's exciting. Oh, we haven't even talked off air about Denver. I'm sure that was a blast. I've heard from different folks how much they enjoy that as a con, but it sounded like it was a well-attended, nice event.
Yeah, Denver was a lot of fun. I'd never been to that show before. My understanding is that it has grown every year, and it was at a really nice, manageable size. So I think people that came to the show really were able to enjoy, you know, just about everything that they wanted. There wasn't a whole lot of times where, you know, a lot of really cool stuff was all scheduled at exactly the same time. That did happen a little. But it was a nice size show. If you wanted to see creators that were in attendance, you know, you weren't standing in line for an hour to see any one person. So creators were largely very accessible, and there was a lot of cool stuff at various booths. So yeah, it was a good show. It was fun, and I had a good time. They flew me out as a guest, and you know, I got to moderate some fun panels. I got to moderate panels on Star Trek and G.I. Joe, you know, stuff I'd worked on in the past, and you know, see some old creators that I'd worked with on some of those things, but then also see some creators that had worked on that stuff at different times for me, and we all got to talk about our experiences and take questions from the audience. It was a lot of fun.
That's exciting. That's definitely one that whenever it pops up, there are a couple that I always say, you know, if I had the opportunity, I'd love to go not just to the city, but also check out that convention, because it sounds like it's exactly like you described. It's one of the ones where it's about comics, and you get to meet people in the environment you want and catch up in the environment you want. And yeah. That's nice. Well, very cool. If you have a question that you can't ask Andy directly at San Diego Comic-Con or Brian Michael Bendis, you can email info@comicsexperience.com. You can also tweet at Comic Experience on Twitter, and we will happily talk about it on the show. Thank you very much, John, for your tweet there. Hopefully the question was answered. And until next time, keep making comics.